Danger. The emergency destruct system is now activated.
Cake and grief counseling will be available at the conclusion of the test.
She's alive! Alive!
Maybe you should put some shorts on or something if you want to keep fighting evil today.
Why not just put a stake through her heart?
She's not a vampire.
Well, you'd be surprised how many things that'll kill.
We are now seeing the beginnings of another stage of human evolution. At last, we can retire and give up this life of crime.
You and your training wheels.
Hailing frequencies are open.
Hello, sweetie.
Commencing countdown. T minus 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Skiffy and Fanti Show.
Non-binary and women authors aren't destroying science fiction. They're making it awesome.
I'm Sean.
I'm Julia.
I'm Paul.
I'm Mike.
And we have two special guests for this first episode of the year. Our first guest is Renee. Hello, Renee.
Hey.
So tell us a little bit about yourself in case people don't know who you are.
I am a co-editor at Lady Business, and I am also running a podcast with Anna from the Book Smugglers called Fangirl Happy Hour. And I mostly spend most of my time on Twitter yelling about Sebastian Stan. That's me.
You forgot one other thing.
Yes,
really?
You did.
Really? Really?
You forgot something really important that you're doing with somebody also really awesome.
Do you know how I feel about self-promotion? Really? I'm also the co-editor of Speculative Fiction 2014 with Sean Duke.
That's me. Alrighty, and our second guest is Natalie Lurs. Hello, Natalie.
Hello.
Tell us a bit about yourself.
My name is Natalie Lurs. I run a blog called prettyterrible.com. There's a hyphen in the middle there. It used to be Radish Reviews, and I changed the name last year for reasons. I used to be the book reviewer at RT Book Reviews for science fiction and fantasy, and up through December of last year, I was also acquisitions editor at Masked Books, which is a division of Prime.
So the reason you changed the name was obviously because you got tired of being associated with vegetables.
Well, no, I still love radishes.
Really?
I love radishes. They're delicious.
They're good in Mexican tacos.
Really?
Huh. Really?
Yeah, that's the thing here in Minneapolis, yeah.
Radishes in tacos.
Yes.
I just like to eat them raw. I mean, just, you know, whole.
Oh, my God.
Maybe with a little ranch dressing because I'm from the Midwest.
That sounds delicious. I don't know what you guys are talking about. That sounds amazing.
I just want another oatmeal raisin cookie now.
I mean, we had pizza for dinner. I'm like, going, I need some ranch dressing for this.
Yeah, but ranch dressing on pizza is good.
It is. Thank you.
Right? You put some chicken on there and just put the... Even you can get rid of the tomato sauce and just use ranch dressing as the sauce.
Just pepperoni pizza and ranch dressing. What are you... Chicken?
Because it's good. Chicken and bacon? Yeah. Try it. It's good. So in any case, before we get into a long discussion about food, because I happen to be very hungry and could talk about pizza right now... So we should start by actually introducing the theme for the year in case you missed it on the blog. We announced it last year, and then we slightly changed it and updated it this year. So the theme for this year is women and non-binary in science fiction and fantasy. Their contributions, their books, their representation, all things under the sun that at least what we can hopefully cover throughout the year. So last year, obviously, we had the theme of the World SF Tour. And we're going to still do a little bit of that this year, but mostly our focus is going to be on women and non-binary characters, writers, directors, whatever we can find. So it should be a lot of fun, I hope. Does anybody have any thoughts on that? Any expectations, hopes for the year?
I'll go.
Go for it, Paul.
Okay. I've mentioned this before on Twitter. Back in November when we mentioned we were going to do this, I thought, personally, I will do this too. I'm not only... focus on women in science fiction for the Skiffy and Fanti Show, but I will in general read more just across the board and review more across the board. And I thought foolishly, you know, I was like, okay, this will shrink my TBR pile significantly because there'll be less books I'll have to choose from in order to read in a given year. This has already been proven to be foolish. I have more books than ever to to decide from. Do I read Kate Elliott? Do I read this new book that came here? Do I read this? Can I ask for this? It's like, yeah, I have not made my TBR problem any easier, and it's amazingly good.
You could just read all the things, Paul.
I don't have clones of myself to do that. Wish I could.
Fair enough. All right. Anyone else have any things? Maybe is anyone else doing a all women and non-binary reading festival other than Paul?
No, but I am harassing my partner to read nothing but women all year because last year he did horribly. So now I'm just controlling his reading. It's great. We went to Goodreads and I just made him read all the summaries of the books, and I put him on a list if he said he liked a summary, and that's all he can read all year.
Okay. Well, I guess that's one way to make that happen.
He read nothing but comics by dudes. So he's grounded.
Yeah, but gosh, comics are really tough.
Yeah, it is, really.
Women, I mean, there are, I found when I was looking, more women who were doing the art, but fewer women doing the actual writing. When I was trying to find stuff that was coming out this year, it's actually really kind of sad. I mean, they're maybe out there, they're just not being put on the big comic sites where they're listing the new stuff. So it's really kind of, we'll probably talk about that maybe later. Natalie, you may have something you want to bring up.
I really like Renee's idea of forcing her partner to read only women. I might do that to my husband. Giving me ideas here. Actually, he tends to do a lot of rereading, so he rereads, alternates Lois McMaster Bujold with Scott Lynch. It's very interesting. But one thing, as I was compiling my list, I was thinking, you know, a lot of the women and non-binary folks on my list they're not like in their 20s and 30s. I think most of them are either in their 30s or 40s, and I just contradicted myself there. But I just think, you know, there's a lot of older women writers and binary writers who are, you know, they've been around a while, they're mid-career, maybe their sales haven't been great, they've had fits and starts, and it would be nice if I think I might try and focus on some of their work, even if it's not new work this year. In addition to the new stuff that's coming out.
I think that's fair. I think that's a fair thing to do. I mean, given, I think last year there was, or maybe it was 2013, there was a lot of talk about people using old as a pejorative, referring to people like, oh, well, they're old people, and that means they're bad people. I think it was in particular referring to Hugo discussions. And I remember that being a big kind of issue because there are all of these people who are like 50, 60 years old who feel like they're being, you know, crapped on just because of their age, even though their age has nothing to do with whether or not they hold an opinion someone else very much dislikes. So.
Well, exactly. I mean, I don't think we need to start putting people on ice floes just yet.
That's one way of thinking about it. Yeah. So that informed your list very much so.
Well, I have like my main list with my five items, but then I also have a supplementary list.
Oh, good. Yeah, it's always a good idea because knowing this group, we'll probably mention things we all were thinking about. So it'd be a good idea to have backups. So I'm doing something similar to what Paul is doing. This year, I'm also putting my focus on women and non-binary writers. And I put up a big call about it and told the various publishers who still send me books that's kind of my thing, and my copy of Karen Memory has yet to arrive, and I'm probably going to bite the mailman at this point because I think he ate it or stole it. So that would be my plan. That's what I'm doing throughout the year. Natalie, you have a thought?
Guess what I got in the mail today? Yes. I took a picture of it even.
I don't know what you're talking about. I wasn't looking at Twitter.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's not right.
I didn't even ask for it.
That's not. Oh, I'm just not happy. I'm like waiting for this book as soon as Artie said that. Oh, I'm sending this to you because of your theme. I'm gonna send this to you. You're gonna enjoy this. And I was like, oh wait, Elizabeth Bear has a new book out. I want it. And now it's not here. And it should be.
It's Miss Endry, Sean. Miss Endry.
The mailman is a sexist. He's stealing my books because they're by women.
So I'm the only one here who so far has read it.
Yes. Shut up, Paul. Okay. That's not right.
My jealousy, it burns.
It's all Sean Paul.
Just because Paul's in the special insider club where he gets to read all the Elizabeth Baer books before everyone else and get personally thanked by Kate Elliott for helping her generate book ideas and be awesome, doesn't mean the rest of us have to feel bitterly jealous and want to kill him.
That just makes sense.
Wow, that was dark.
That was awfully specific, Julia.
Yeah. So, boy. All right. Well, Julia, did you have any thoughts or before we skip to the lists?
I mean, my thoughts for this year are pretty much the same as my thoughts for every year as far as my hopes. I really hope that I discover something new and wonderful that's exactly what I wanted and never knew it.
I can guarantee that will happen. I actually can't guarantee that, but I'm pretty sure it'll happen because this year is going to be really awesome. So we shall see. All right. Well, why don't we jump to our lists? Because we've got things we want to share. We were going to share all of the nifty stuff we were excited about for this year, things coming out. And I think we should start with our list. And I'm just going to go from left to right. We'll start with you, Julia. What are the things, the five things that you are super excited about this year?
Okay, so the first one, I don't know if this quite counts, but I have to talk about it because it is something that's created by at least some women. It has a lot of female cast members, and they're awesome. And it came out not this year, it came out earlier, but I've just been playing it now, and it's called The Walk. It's a interactive game that you play on your mobile phone. It's by the same people who did Zombies Run, but it's a walking game. And I got turned on to it by Amala Motar and Nene Orms. And it's just amazing. It's this game that has basically made me walk pretty much 20,000 steps almost every day since I started playing it because I want to unlock more parts of the story. And it has so many awesome female characters in it. So if you have not played this game, if you need more instances to go walking, The Walk by Six Apart with Naomi Alderman. And Andrea Phillips is one of the writers on it. She's awesome, too. I follow her on Twitter. Cool. So, yeah, that's the first one. Number two, that's something that actually is coming out this year, which I can't wait for, is the Hark a Vagrant collection, Step Aside Pops. I think that's coming out in September. I love Hark a Vagrant. I love Kate Beaton. She's a Canadian comic writer. She writes and draws. And she's just wonderful. Her things are very funny. You can find them at harkavagrant.com, I believe. I am also super looking forward to Hidden Youth, which I think is actually technically coming out in 2016, but the submissions are open now. And they are open until mid-April. That one is kind of the sequel to Long Hidden, which was the stories of marginalized history. This one is YA stories of marginalized people in history, I think. And it's going to be edited by Mickey Kendall and Sophia Samatar, who are both awesome. So I cannot wait to see what they come up with. And so let's see, that's three things. Yeah. Okay. Oh, I know. So probably my favorite new writer that I have discovered just recently that I cannot wait to read more of is S.L. Huang. I really want to see her nominated for the Campbell. She had a wonderful story on book smugglers called Hunting Monsters. And she's got a series of novels, the third of which is going to be due out later this year, that are like thriller novels with a badass female character whose superpower is that she's freakishly good at math. She's amazing, and I really just cannot wait to see what she does next. So that's four. And the fifth one is my friend Claire, CSE Cooney, she's got all this stuff on the burner right now, and she's kind of on fire lately. We had a story by her in Strange Horizons last year that was called Witch Beast Saint that came out in the summer. And she started doing a novella series in that world, the first of which came out last year, called The Witch and the Almond Tree. These are like erotic urban fantasy sort of fairy tales, and they're awesome and I love them. So there's going to be more of those. She's also got another series of sort of paranormal romance things called the Dark Breakers series, the second of which is about to come out like today or tomorrow. And that's called the Dark Breakers Trilogy. And I think she's working on an album of music that's just like all of these things are coming out in the next few months. And she's got a short story collection coming out through Mythic Delirium, which is the press that Mike Allen runs. So basically, she's just got all of these different things coalescing, and she's someone that I'm super excited about because I became her friend after I had fallen in love with her work, and the more that we are friends, the more I love her work because she just keeps getting better.
So you mentioned SL... Ow, my cat just attacked me. Seriously? Right in the middle of a sentence. So that was fun. So you mentioned SL Huang, or is it Wang?
It's Huang. I had to ask her how to pronounce her last name on Twitter. I was like, how do you pronounce your name? No reason.
I read Zero Sum Game last year, which is the math nut, crazy, super awesome person, which is great. It's a great, great, awesome, fun thriller novel. And I'm reading Half-Life right now, and it is also just as fun and exciting. She's fighting the mafia right now, which is just like really awesome. So yeah, I would love to see her nominated for a Campbell as well, because her work is really, really good. It's good stuff. So I haven't read any of the short fiction though, so it's good that there's some stuff I should be reading. So
you have no excuse not to go read Hunting Monsters for free on the Book Smugglers.
I don't have any reason. I'm going to have to do it after I finish Half-Life.
It's a very good story.
Good, good. Well, all right. Paul, why don't we jump to you? You're five.
Wow, I'm not used to being up so early in these sorts of things. Okay, I'm going to start up with someone I just thought of as I listened to Julia's very diverse list. I'm going to start off with Shanna Germain. She's a writer, and she's also the co-creator of a number of games with her significant other, Monte Cook, one of which, The Strange, is coming out with a bunch of new products this coming year, which I'm very interested in. I haven't actually run The Strange yet, but I have all the books. I basically backed the Kickstarter, so I'm looking forward to seeing what stuff like the Ninth World Guidebook and the other guides to The Strange and characters that are coming out this year. So Shanna Germain's Strange and Ninth World stuff for Numenera. That's number one. Okay, number two, I'm going to go... What the heck was that? Okay, number two, I'm going to go with Laura Ann Gilman. Laura Ann Gilman has a book coming out this year called Silver on the Road, which is set in an alternate Wild West where the devil owns a bunch of the Wild West. It features a teenage protagonist who makes a deal with the devil and, well, has to live with the consequences of that and deal with sorcerers, demons, and all sorts of fun stuff in the Wild West. I'm up there for it. So that's number two. Number three, she was already previously mentioned jealously by Julia as Kate Elliott. Kate Elliott has a book coming out this year called Court of Fives. It's her first foray into YA, and it features a Greco-Roman Egypt sort of culture with a Count of Monte Cristo plot with the female protagonist. I'm there for it. Number four, I will go with Jupiter Ascending. The movie did get pushed into the black hole that is February, but the Wachowskis are interesting filmmakers, even when they're things don't go always to plan. See following Speed Racer and the Matrix sequels. The visuals alone will put me into the theater seat the opening weekend just to see what they can put on the screen in front of my eyes. It looks interesting. I don't know if it will actually come to fruition or not. And fifth, let's see who shall I plug the best? Okay, I will plug Fran Wild. Fran Wild is a friend of mine. I'm tangentially associated with her Cooking the Books podcast and helping that get out in front of the public. She has a book coming out this year, a sort of new weird epic fantasy called Updraft, and I'm looking forward to see what she can do in long form. So that's my five.
You Paul, you're just stealing all the good stuff, man.
Sean, I don't know what you're complaining for. My list had like 20 things on it, and I had to pick five, and I was like, oh, well, I'm hoping that other people don't already plan to choose the ones that I'm planning, because I could have used other ones if they were planning to. You just get extra chances to use other things from your list.
I know, but you're just taking my things. It's not fair. No, it's okay, Paul. I forgive you.
Thank you.
I suspect Renee will also had mentioned Jupiter Ascending, correct?
Actually, no. I did not have that on my list.
After the stink you made on Twitter?
Listen, I have read some tweets that says they're trying to distance Eddie how do you pronounce his name? Eddie Redmayne? Is that how you pronounce the actor's name? From the movie, because his acting is so bad, because they're afraid it's going to hurt his Oscar chances. I'm super excited about this movie, but I'm not going to, like, advertise it.
You mean Eddie Redmayne?
Yeah, whatever his name is.
The guy from Les Mis,
like, the guy, he plays the villain, I guess.
Who was in Theory of Everything, right?
Maybe. I don't know actors that well. I just read the tweets. I'm like, that's fantastic.
That's the rumor for why they may have also pushed the movie to February?
Yep.
That's just stupid.
That's Hollywood politics for you.
Well, he was in Theory of Everything, so I guess that's... Well, okay, whatever. All right. Okay, so why don't we now jump over to you, Renee, since Jupiter Ascending's not on your list.
I have nothing but books on my list, because I'm just really bad at movies. So my first thing is a book that's... it's not new, but it's newly published in the U.S. this year, although it came out in Canada last year, I think. The story is about an apocalypse America, and the title is The Country of Ice Cream Star by Sandra Newman. So it's about this world where Ice Cream Star lives in, like, this post-apocalyptic America, where all people under 20 die. Like, when they hit 20, they die of this disease, and then when her brother starts showing up with symptoms, she goes on a quest to find a cure. I'm a really huge sucker for narratives about deadly diseases and also the end of America. So this really sounds fantastic to me. It comes out on February 10th. My second item is Mars Evacuees by Sophia McDougall, which was also published in the UK last year and not here, which was really upsetting to me because all my friends love this book. It's a middle grade SF novel where the Earth is under attack by aliens, so the protagonist, Alice, and a few other kids get sent to Mars, and then there are inevitable hijinks. That comes out on February 17th. My third item is Miss Marvel Volume 2, Generation Y. So I have a lot of emotions about Miss Marvel No Normal, which was the first volume of Kamala Khan's adventures. Like, I'm currently in a deep state of denial about the recent Marvel Secret Wars announcement, where they announced they plan to ruin everything by using a simile of ruining two perfectly good pizzas. So until that hot mess explodes all over the summer, I'm just pretending it's not happening and wrecking Miss Marvel to everyone because it's a delight to read. So you could prepare for Generation Y by reading No Normal, since it doesn't come out until March 24th of this year. My fourth item is Carry On by Rainbow Rowell. Last year, Rainbow published Fangirl, which was about Kath Avery and her fanfiction adventures while growing up and going to college. So the story was really adorable. And fanfic was a huge part of the main character's life. And the series in the book that she was writing fanfic for was called the Simon Snow Books. And there are, like, excerpts of her fic in the book itself. And it's obviously, like, a really direct parallel to Harry and Draco fanfic from Harry Potter. But now she's actually writing the book called Carry On which was a fanfic in the book Fangirl. It's super meta, and I'm so excited about it. It comes out on October 6th. And last is Rev by Madeline Ashby, which comes out in, like, November, I think. So this is really tentative. So it's part of her Machine Dynasty series, which was weird and romantic and strange and complicated. I haven't read the second book yet, although I have it. So there's, like, zero news about the third book. So I have no clue what it's about. I don't know who it features, but I love Ashby's writing and the stuff she talks about, and I'm really excited for that.
All right, Paul had a hand, I guess, in response here.
Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't mention Company Town, which is also coming up this year.
Well, I mostly chose things that I haven't been screaming about on the internet, and I've talked about Company Town several times, so I just chose things that I haven't yet
squeed about.
Yeah.
That's fair. Mike?
I have something of an inside scoop on Rev, and I also am super excited. I'm not sure how much is all public in terms of copy that's gone out because it's later in the year. But yeah, it's one of the coolest series that we have at Angry Robot.
I couldn't find anything about it. I didn't even know about it, and I wouldn't have learned about it except John DiNardo talked about it in his Kirkus article. Mm-hmm. When he talked about books coming out this year. And he's pretty much my source of knowledge about books that are coming out like plus 9 months in the future, because it's hard to find information about books like that. They just don't give you the Goodreads and publishers just don't give you that info.
Yeah, more is forthcoming. It's going to be great.
Yes, I'm super excited.
Awesome. All right, well, Natalie, it's your turn.
Well, first I want to yell at Paul for snagging one of my recommendations, which was Fran Wilde's Updraft.
I'm sorry, I had other ones. I just picked Fran because Fran is good people.
She is good people, and I'm really super excited. And you know, she's one of those people who's so supportive of other people in our community that, you know, I'm really excited for her book to come out. I just can't wait. I love her writing. It's so cool. Also, she's a good friend of mine, so I should probably put that as a caveat. But in terms of what I'm interested in, a couple of my friends have, well, one of my friends had a book come out just last week. Sunny Moraine had Labyrinthian come out, which is set in their same universe as The Line in Orbit, which I loved. But this is, it's a retelling of Theseus and the Minotaur, but it's like all like gay romancy and stuff, but it's science fiction and I can't wait to read it. It just came out. And it's out electronically and paper from Samhain Press. And also, A.C. Wise has a short story collection coming from Leith Press this summer called The Ultra Fabulous Glitter Squadron Saves the World Again, which one that is like the best title for a short story collection ever. But also, I'm just really looking forward to reading it. Just Allison is also a friend of mine, and she's fantastic, and I'm really happy she's got a collection coming. Other things I'm looking forward to are Rose Lemberg is editing a collection. It's the funding of which was kickstarted, Alphabet of Embers, which looks like it's going to be all kind of weird and awesome. And it looks like Rose has decided to publish a lot of new authors, a lot of people this is going to be their first publication credit. So I'm really excited to read that and see what Rose has put together. And two other things I'm looking forward to, also books, are N.K. Jemisin's The Fifth Season, which is about, it's an epic fantasy, I think, in a world that has periodic geologic events that are essentially life or world ending, which looks really awesome. I think I'm using the word awesome a lot. And the last thing I'm looking forward to is Nnedi Okorafor has a prequel for Who Fears Death coming out, I think this summer, called The Book of Phoenix, which I cannot wait to get my hands on that because Who Fears Death was an amazing, incredible, mind-blowing, heartbreaking book. So that's my list.
Can I just say I'm 100% behind your entire list? It sounds so much awesome. And a lot of those things were on my like list that I kind of didn't take everything from.
I know. And I've got like other stuff on my list that's like, you know, stuff that came out earlier that I just haven't gotten to, like Beth Brnovich's last two books. And I've been meaning to pick up some of Jamie Lee Moyer's books and Tina Connolly's books. So I've got this huge, giant list of stuff to read.
It's a wonderful problem to have.
But I have other hobbies.
You do?
Yes.
She's a professional cricket player, obviously. Right?
Clearly.
Well, she's certainly using the mallet on the both of us right now.
No, I have an extremely large, you know, yarn and fiber collection that needs to be made into things. And I am sitting at my desk full of art supplies that also needs to be made into things. So
this is why audiobooks are good.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I listen to audiobooks when I drive. I can't really listen to them when I'm doing other things, though.
Hmm. Well, that sounds
trip.
Like a problem. Well,
yeah, I don't know.
Alrighty, well, why don't we jump to Mike? Mike, you have a list, supposedly.
I do. I've made some substitutions since other people have picked things that I would have picked. So I'm going to start with a comic series that has gotten a good amount of attention, but needs all of the attention because it's amazing. And I think it's one of the major parts of kind of the future of comics. And that is a series called Lumberjanes. And this is was, I think, created by Grace Ellis and Shannon Waters. And the current ongoing series is Grace Ellis, Noelle Stevenson, and Brooke Allen with others. Because there's a lot of artists and some guest writers. And this is a comic series about a girls' sleepaway camp in a world where there's actually also like monsters and crazy things. And it's just this wonderful kind of teen and preteen girls' adventure stories. And it's super accessible. It's a great all-ages comic. I've loved everything that I've read from the first volume. It's been promoted to an ongoing series. And this was part of a group called Boom Box from Boom Studios, which is a really cool independent, kind of not the big two comics company. And Lumberjanes has been doing really well, so they've been doing more with it. And I got to kind of see the public excitement around Lumberjanes at like New York Comic Con. And I'm so excited because for me, it's really a part of the vanguard of comics remembering that women have always been a part of comics and that comics should be for everyone. And they should explicitly also be for women and for girls. And it's just wonderful. And I commend it onto everyone. My second pick is Clockwork Crown, or The Clockwork Crown, by Beth Cato. And this is the second in what I think is currently a duology that is steampunk fantasy. Beth is a friend, so there's a caveat there, but the first book, The Clockwork Dagger, is amazing. I got to read it early to give a blurb, and I did, and I blurbed the heck out of it because it was great. It's like if you took Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman, and some steampunk, like in the tradition of like Shuri Priest, Bone Shaker, and you threw it together with like Final Fantasy VI kind of magic tech almost. It's just got so many great flavors all mixed in, really well executed. And the first book ends with like, oh, well, now everything's going to get bigger. And Clockwork Crown promises to really kind of deliver on all of those, oh, dang, expansions of the concept and the conceit. So I'm really, really jazzed about that one. And we have some love in Skype comments, so I'm glad to not be alone on that. My third is Deadly Spells, which is the third of the Prospero's War series, which is a kind of speculative crime fiction by Jay Wells. And the central premise here is, what if in a story like The Wire, instead of drugs, you had magic? And it's set in a kind of fictional Midwestern Rust Belt town, kind of close to where Cleveland would be. And the main character is Kate Prospero, who is a cop turned federal agent in basically the magical equivalent of the DEA. And she's in this city that has this huge kind of magical crime neighborhood called the Cauldron. And these are really sharply written. And there's a great clearness and crispness and a power to the voice, the way that it's written. The world building is really cool, kind of takes all of the base assumptions of crime fiction and bakes them into this alchemical mixture with urban fantasy and speculative fiction in terms of using a speculative premise to examine the real world and real issues. I read the first two and really loved them, and this is kind of one of my favorite ongoing contemporary fantasy series. Again, that's Deadly Spells, Prospero's War, Book 3. That one is coming in February, and Clockwork Crown is coming in June. And then my fourth pick is back to comics, and that is Spider-Gwen. I don't know if it's actually going to be called Spider-Gwen. So earlier in 2014, there was Edge of Spider-Verse, which is a tie-in to the big Spider-Verse crossover that's being done in Spider-Man right now with multiple dimensions and Spider-Men and Spider-like totem characters from across the Marvel multiverse. So they did a single issue of Spider-Gwen in a world where the spider bites Gwen Stacy instead of biting Peter Parker. And Gwen Stacy becomes this spider hero. And she's got this amazing, really well-designed costume. by artist Robbie Rodriguez. The writer on that is Jason Latour. And the two of them are getting to team up again and do a Spider-Gwen ongoing. And the first issue had this great, it had a really clearly defined voice right away, a great sense of fun, but also the kind of maturity and the sense of responsibility that is really part and parcel with like a spider book. And it's the thing I'm most excited about coming out of the Spider-Verse crossover. And I, it seems very likely to me that Spider-Gwen will persist into this, whatever the new status quo for Marvel will be. And I'm super on board with it. And my number five pick is Bitch Planet, which is an Image comic book series. And that is, I believe, created by Kelly Sue DeConnick and Valentin Delandro, who are the writer and artist, respectively. And with Bitch Planet, that's colors by Chris Peters and letters by Clayton Cowles, because I want to try and get those folks in there as well. Bitch Planet is like what would happen if you took The Handmaid's Tale and smashed it together really hard with a feminist reclamation of like 70s women in prison exploitation films. It's a science fictional future where any women who are non-compliant, who, you know, disobey rules or break laws or have infractions as minor as are not pleasing to their husbands or are unrepentantly big and take up space and refuse to kind of comply with society's rules, are all shunted off to a whole other planet that's derogatorily known as Bitch Planet. And it's this gigantic prison complex. And it, in one issue, has done more hard-hitting feminist science fiction speculation than a lot of other works can do in a whole novel or in larger works. It's really densely packed. I'm very excited to see where it goes next because it's only one issue in. The second issue comes out next week on January 28th. And what it also has is essays in the back from friends and associates of the creators. The first essay gives a great sense of context to the comic narrative. So it's really a multimedia feminist SF project in a comic series. And I'm really excited to see where it goes next.
Question.
Yes.
Is there going to be a trade for Bitch Planet?
Almost certainly. I would guess that we'll see it late summer, early fall next year.
And since you are reading that one, and I know you've talked about that one a lot, where do you recommend somebody who cannot go back and get the first issue easily? Is there like a narrative point at which you should start, or should I like start buying the comics now and wait till the trade comes out?
Only the first issue has come out, and I think they've done a reprint. It's definitely available digital. So it should not be too hard to find for readers or for listeners who are coming to this episode shortly after we record it. You know, come April or May, it may be a little bit more expensive to go back if you don't read digitally. But it should be very widely available. It's gotten a great response. It's from Image, and they tend to do a pretty good job at keeping stuff available.
Okay, perfect. All right, I will. I didn't realize that it had not been running very long. I shall go grab the first issue at my comic store.
Excellent.
Since it's not out very long, it probably won't cost me an arm and a leg.
Mm-hmm.
So, good. Excellent. All righty. Well, I guess that means it's my turn.
Yes.
All right. So, since you guys have taken almost everything on my list, I have to go with other stuff. So, thanks a lot, guys.
You're
jerks.
Welcome.
You're welcome.
Okay. So, first things first will be TV. Agent Carter, which... I will admit I have not started watching yet, because I am a binge watcher, so I can't, I don't like waiting for a week for an episode, so I will wait till I've got five or so episodes stockpiled and then I will watch it. So it looks like everybody literally is typing at the same time while I am talking about this, so that's pretty insane. So everybody else seems to be super happy about Agent Carter, but I've been excited about this since they announced it last year. And even with just speculation. So it was really, really great. So, and I hope I enjoy it because I want it to be good. Also, some of the writers are women. So yay. The other thing, is a movie. I did have Jupiter Ascending on my list, but I moved it back at because somebody else mentioned it. The other film I was interested in that is directed by a woman, is a movie called Mary Shelley's Monster, which stars Sophia Turner from Game of Thrones. It's directed by, and I'm going to probably get the name wrong. I tried to find a pronunciation, but I couldn't find one. Koki Giedroyc, or something of that nature. But in any case, if you Google Mary Shelley's Monster, you'll find the director's name, and can then yell at me about how poorly I pronounced the name. But it's basically sort of almost like a biopic of Mary Shelley during the point at which she's writing the her famous novel. But it's has a kind of like Faustian bargain kind of thing going on, at least that's according to the synopsis. So involving some alter egos and maybe some sexy romance seems to be hinted at. Not a lot of information seems to be available about it, except that Sophie Turner is in it, and that's going to be awesome. So I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be great. The other thing, so books, go to comics. So the one comic that I get recommended today that I'm really interested in is something called Beyond. It's an anthology of queer SFF comics, and it's going to be edited by someone by the name of Faye Monster. It also features Fiona Staples is in the approved table of contents so far, and there's a whole bunch of names of people I've never even heard of, which makes me just really excited because that means there's just all this really cool stuff. It's just a collection of stories in which queerness is sort of brought to the forefront. So it's going to be all these kinds of different representations. I'm really looking forward to that because that sounds really awesome. So hopefully that takes off. So that gives me three things, which means I need to pick two books. Which is going to be really hard because I just realized I have three that I should have picked. Damn it. Okay, so the one is Nisi Shawl is editing a collection with Aqueduct Press this year. It's called The Year's Illustrious Feminist Science Fiction and Fantasy, which seems to be, it looks like it's going to be one of those the annual kind of things. It's going to be obviously stories from last year. As soon as I saw that, I knew I wanted the book because it looks awesome. It's also edited by Nisi Shawl, so that means it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. It's going to be really exciting. I don't know what's in it yet because they basically haven't, there's almost no information yet about it as far as I could tell. But I'm sure it's going to be awesome, the stuff that's in it. The collection just sounds great. And we really need it. And then the other thing, it's either Stina Light or Aliette de Bodard. How do I pick? I can't do both, Julia. I can't. It's not fair.
Well, you are.
Yes, you can. Do it.
Okay,
do it.
Fine. I will cheat. So two books that I'm really, really interested in. There were many more, but folks mentioned most of them already. But two of the ones that I really, really am excited about is Cold Iron by Stina Light, who we're going to be interviewing at some point later this year. I mean, honestly, Stina is one of those authors who could write a cookbook, and I would probably read it, even though I don't really like cookbooks very much. So I'm just really excited about that one because it's her next book, and I've been waiting for her to write something else because her other work is incredible. If you've not read her other books from Nightshade, I really recommend you read them. This new one seems to be doing a lot of interesting things, at least in terms of it's being described as a flintlock fantasy, but it also seems to that maybe it's one of its main characters may have a disability. It's not entirely clear to me based on the synopsis, and I don't want Testina to ruin it for me, so I'm going to leave that as a discovery. But it's sort of set in a world in which the royal family are not meant to take up arms, and one of the main characters gets in an altercation and does so and is essentially banished to the military from the royal family. And there's politics, there's a war brewing, there's a sort of implied racism about this other sort of tribal group, which they refer to as barbarians, and the main character seems to think that they're not actually anything of the sort. And so there's a lot of sort of interesting conflict there. It's also the idea of another flintlock fantasy just sounds really awesome because the last one we read, Paul, you may recall, was actually a lot of fun. So that one is that. And then the other one is the thing that was announced not too long ago, which is coming out from, I believe, Golance and then Rock in the U.S., which is The House of Shattered Wings by Aliette de Bodard, which I am so excited about because she's a great writer, and this series sounds really, really great. The basic premise is it's a murder mystery set in the middle of, like, the fallout of a massive sort of epic I guess you say like a holy war, a war. It's described in the synopsis as a war in heaven. And it's so like Paris has barely survived this massive war. Like Notre Dame is gone, I guess. Like this, the whole world is like falling apart. And in the middle of this, of course, there's a murder mystery. And it sounds just really exciting and a lot of fun. It also sounds kind of like, you know, kind of batshit. And I kind of like that. In a book that just sort of just goes out there and goes really pushes it. So I'm really looking forward to that too. And there are like a dozen thousand other books, but I can't mention them all, so I won't. But there's too many books is all I'm saying. So Julia, you wanted to jump in.
Yeah, so one thing I think that all of our lists are kind of light on is the non-binary stuff. There were a few things in there, but because we haven't had as many, I wanted to call out a couple more things I'm really excited to see happen this year. One is Kefi Carely has decided to start a podcast of quiltbag science fiction stories called Glittership, and I cannot wait to see that. Of course, we all know Kefi because he had been sometimes on the Skiffy and Fandy show before, and I'm sure the stories that he picks are going to be awesome. The other one is Queers Destroy Science Fiction, which is the next in the series of, you know, Women Destroy Science Fiction and all of that, which is looks like it's going to be awesome. It's still in its fundraising period, and it's already got an absurd amount of money. So really looking forward to seeing what happens with that.
Yeah, that was actually something I've had an issue finding because it's not – when you say, like, books by women, it's really easy to find lists of books by women. But when you type like books by non-binary people, there aren't exactly a lot of lists. And so I actually went to Twitter trying to find more stuff, and people did suggest a bunch of things, which is how I found out about the Beyond anthology. So if people are listening to this who are or know people or whatever, that is something we're interested in. And so any help in kind of getting people to know about what we're up to would be great because we'd love to have more people. So yeah. I see Renee has a hand. So go on, Renee.
Yeah, my friend Ira, who is a non-binary individual, they are a professional artist, and they work on a comic that I always mispronounce, Aconia.com, I think is the URL of that comic. And it's a webcomic. It's active right now. It's still in progress. So it's really cute. The art's really cute. The story's really cute. So if you have interest, she's the artist on it, but she's also involved in the writing too. So, then there was another author that I really like called, although I don't know if they have anything coming out, but I do follow them, Polynth Blake.
Yes, yes. Okay.
Yeah. And Polynth is great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Polynth actually helped me with the wording in the call, the open call, because, well, I just wanted to get it right. I didn't want it to be stupid. So got a lot of help there. So,
I do have a short story collection out, but I don't know if they have anything new coming out this year.
Okay. Yeah, that was the thing I was trying to find, like, where is my magic list of stuff coming this year? Somebody did suggest a list, I think it was Boni Takacs.
That's why my hand is up.
Sean. Oh, okay, Julia, go.
Okay, so Natalie said in the chat that Boni Takacs has a really good list of recommendations up on our website. I believe it's prezzy.net. It's prezzey.net. Okay. And their lists are great. Air lists, I think I'm getting the pronoun wrong. Also, seconding the Polynth Blake recommendation, Polynth did have a story in Strange Horizons in the autumn called Never the Same, so that's a good free story jumping off point.
It was amazing.
I love that story. It was so good.
Excellent, excellent. Well, yeah, so hopefully we'll find a whole bunch of new stuff, because I don't want there to be any gaps, but... there is also the issue that I noticed that many people who are non-binary aren't always public about that. So that can also be a thing we have to be aware of, I think. Hopefully, yes. And Rose Lemberg, who did I not mention her thing? Oh, she's doing the Birdverse thing on Patreon. So the novellas and whatnot, which sounds really cool. So there's that too. So. Yeah. Alrighty. Well, any last things people want to mention, or everyone's having like a typing fest and the little things. So, Mike, save me.
Yeah, so I'm really excited about this topic because the presence of women and non-binary persons and other folks who are not in majoritarian positions has been a topic within the genre. But what I'm really hoping is that it will not be kind of the topic of the moment, and that continued conversations will help move discussions of recognition and celebration of authors from outside the kind of the standard set of positionalities, that conversation will become more normalized within the genre, so that people will unconsciously know to, remember to, and feel empowered to include a wider range of creators and characters within the way that they think about the genre. And I'm really excited to be a part of that, and for us to be able to help kind of continue that conversation.
Me too. It's going to be exciting. So
I definitely agree. As someone who's been talking about this stuff for years, I'm very excited that it's coming to wider sections of the world.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll have a we'll help in that in to some extent by hopefully maybe keeping that conversation going. You know, it'd be great that we have more of the discussion about that kind of thing.
We have to be part of the change we want to see.
Exactly. Yeah. And given how hard it was for me to find some stuff, I do think we need to have more awareness of where these works are. Not just the works written by women, but even by, as Natalie, what you were pointing out at the very beginning of the podcast, you know, not forgetting older writers as well, or forgetting non-binary writers, or whatever other intersections there may be. So making sure we don't forget that as best as we can in a podcast that doesn't podcast every night for 17 hours. Although we could do that. You guys want to do that?
I think my voice would give out about 2 months in.
16 then.
We're going to need a lot more patrons.
We're going to need more Mountain Dew.
Excellent. Well, we should probably close this one out. So really quick, we'll go to you, Renee, first. Want to tell everybody where to find you on the interwebs?
Sure. I'm available at ladybusiness.dreamwith.org or on Twitter at /RENAY.
Perfect. And you, Natalie, what about you?
I can be found at pretty-terrible.com or on Twitter at /EILATAN, which is Natalie spelled backwards.
Yes, which Justin Landon was shocked about, I think, last
year. Could you figure that out?
It was
really?
She said, yes!
When she told him that's what it was, he was like, what? Really? That is, how did I, what? It was pretty funny. It was pretty funny. Yeah. Well, excellent. Thank you, Julia, for coming back for the very first episode of the year.
Oh, yeah. It's awesome to be here.
Excellent. Thanks, Paul.
I'm excited for this year.
Thanks, Renee, for being the first on the first episode of the year.
You're very welcome.
And thank you, Natalie.
Thank you, Sean.
And thank you, Mike.
Geek on!
Just so you know, you'll still be wrong about comics all year.
Okay.
I don't see how Mike can be wrong about comics when he just recommended Bitch Planet and Spider-Gwen, which both sound awesome.
I think you misheard. I recommend those. Mike didn't recommend any comics. This is the true statement.
And didn't also Mike recommend the Lumberjanes? Like, all of that was amazing.
I seem to recall me mentioning that one.
I thought it was Justin Landon's job to be wrong.
Well, no, Mike's only wrong about comics.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the only thing he's wrong about. He's right he sometimes is wrong about other things, but mostly okay. It's just that.
Okay, so Justin subcontracted that out to Mike.
Yeah, except for in November, Mike got to be right about comics for 1 month.
It was glorious.
Yeah, it was good. I had to spend this most of December correcting his mistakes.
All right, let's close.
And on that note, awkward ending and scene.
If you would like to send us hate mail on this episode or any other topics we've covered, you can do so in a number of ways. You can send us an email.
SkiffyandFanty@gmail.com.
You can send us a tweet.
@SkiffyandFanty.
Leave a comment on the blog.
SkiffyandFanty.com.
Go to Google+.
Shawnee Jen.
And or Facebook.
The Skiffy and Fanty Show. Our intro music comes from Time Flux by Revolution Void. You can check them out at freemusicarchive.org.
another weak human afraid to face death.
I fart in your general direction.
France, different planet.
The Force will be with you, always.
This is Ripley, last survivor of the Nostromo, signing off.